We're going to open up the questions with Mitch Stacy from the Associated Press, followed by Dan Hope. Mitch, open up, please.
Hi, Ryan. Just wondering if you can talk about your feelings, emotions about being out there with the guys today for the first time this year, you know, considering what kind of year it's been so far.
It was great to see our guys out there. The energy of the coaching staff, of the players, the leaders, just being out there with a football running around was great. It was great to see our guys with so much energy, to see them on the field doing what they love, you know, and just kind of forgetting about everything else for about an hour and a half was really great today. And so, you know, off to a great start, but certainly we got a big long road ahead of us.
Just a follow up. What was the discussion among you and your team regarding, you know, the fact that there may not be a season at all? Have you discussed that? Are you how are you approaching that at this point?
Yeah, so we've had a lot of conversations, and the message has been that this is something that, you know, I feel like it's been a broken record here for the past few years, but when we say focus on right now and win the moment, this is the ultimate situation for that, because we don't know what's coming tomorrow. Certainly anything's possible. We all know that, but we're not really focused on that. The off, you know, really that summer stretch there, when we got here in June, it was all focused on becoming a better football player and staying healthy. And now that's still the same thing, except now we've also added become a great football team. And you can't really focus on anything else other than that, because you just get distracted. And while there's still so many distractions going on in the world right now, we have to make sure that we're just staying focused on that. And as hard as that is, you know, for the coaches included, we're really challenging each other to really stay focused on today, maximizing the day, and then we'll wake up in the morning and see what comes. And it certainly, each day comes with a new set of challenges. You know, we kind of talk about it as a staff and, you know, so okay, let's see what today brings, and we keep pushing forward. But I think the communication has been excellent amongst the leader and amongst the team, amongst the coaching staff. The trust is strong, and so we just keep building one day after another.
Thanks, Ryan.
Sure. Next up, Dan Hope from 11 Warriors with Kyle Rowland on deck. Dan?
Hey, Ryan. Obviously, there's been some players in college football who have decided they're not going to play this season. Have you had anybody come to you with concerns about playing this year? And if somebody was to come to you and say, hey, coach, I'm thinking about opting out, how would you handle that conversation?
Talked to the team yesterday and made sure that they understood that if someone does have concerns and opt out for whatever those reasons are, whether it's high risk or whatever they are, that we're going to have conversations. And if at the end of the day they don't feel comfortable, their family doesn't feel comfortable, that doesn't mean they're not going to be part of the program. You know, we're going to figure that out and make sure that we have a program in place until they do feel comfortable, whatever that might be. But the communication has been very, very strong. Certainly guys in the team have shared their concerns with me and thoughts with me. And what we've done, I think, an excellent job of here. And hats are off to our medical people, Dr. Borcher, Sean Barnhouse, his staff, all the people, you know, with the infectious disease on campus. Our medical personnel have been working around the clock, and they're tired. But they've done just a wonderful job getting together with Gene Smith, who, again, the amount of hours he's putting in right now from 6 in the morning until late at night to put together the safest environment possible for our team. But I just want to make sure I say that, you know, along the way, there's been things that we've learned and we've adapted, and we're going to continue to learn and continue to adapt, because that's real. And right now, as we talk to our players and we talk to our parents, you can tell by the way the captains talked on Monday, I think, that they feel safe. They feel strong about what we're doing. But everything changes on a daily basis, and we'll have to continue to adapt and continue to communicate.
You mentioned guys bringing up concerns to you. There was a group of Big Ten players yesterday who put out a statement about some of their concerns. Did you talk to any of your guys at all about participating in that? And kind of what is your advice to your guys if they do want to speak out about whatever issues might be going on right now?
Yeah, I'm not aware of anybody that was part of that group, but I also didn't pry. I think that they have the right to have a voice. Again, that's kind of why I thought it would be great to have the captains on Monday speak. And you guys, you know, asked them questions for about an hour. I thought they were awesome there. and they're the leaders of this team. But I believe that they all should have a voice. And the communication we've had is if there are concerns, please bring them to me and bring them to your position coach. Have your parents call me. You please call me so that I can advocate, because that's what I want to do. I want to advocate for these guys because they've worked so hard and they deserve it. And so we keep those lines of communication open. And if there's something there that I can't get done on my own, then certainly, you know, we'll push for those guys to speak out. But you know, I think when you have the lines of communication where, you know, they trust that I'm going to go to bat for them, you know, we are where we're at right now.
Thanks, Mark. Next up, Kyle Rowland, the Toledo Blade, with Austin Ward on deck. Kyle?
Hey, Ryan. Obviously, this is a very fragile time. UConn's already shut things down. The stuff going on at Rutgers seems concerning. Are you completely comfortable with Ohio State starting right now?
I'm comfortable with us starting training camp. I still think that in order to play a game, not yet. I think that the Big Ten did a wonderful job yesterday of laying out some of the stuff that as we get into the competitive season, some of the details and protocols moving forward. But certainly there's more details to be ironed out before we go play that first game. But I am very comfortable with what we have going on here, going to training camp, our training camp protocols and procedures that we shared with our team, with our coaching staff, and then with our parents. And I think that's really well thought out, and there's been a lot of back and forth there, and we feel strong about that. But I would say right now, you know, we're not quite ready to play a game yet. But I know the Big Ten and the commissioner's office is working really, really hard to put all those details together so that we all can feel strong once we get a lot of those details. But yesterday was a great step forward for us.
And then, I mean, September 3rd, obviously not very far away. Didn't have a full spring practice. The summer was obviously very weird. Any concern that, I don't know, the quality of play will be diminished those first few weeks of the season?
No, I don't. Looking at this team right now, the way that they worked in the offseason, and a lot of times they were by themselves. It was virtual stuff. But the way that they've worked this summer, the way that they led into this summer, no, I'm not concerned about that at all.
Thanks, Ryan.
Next up, Austin Ward from Letterman Row with Bill Rabinowitz on deck. Austin?
Hey, Ryan. There was a lot of conversation over the summer about how do you manage a practice? Do you want to stagger it with ones and threes and twos and scout teams just to avoid some of the contact tracing situations? Have you decided definitively what you guys will do throughout the month, or how is that plan sort of taking shape?
Yep. It's a great question. We're doing both. We have both models, and we're actually using both models for different reasons. Today, we did a split squad. Tomorrow, we'll all be together. And we have to do a great job of, managing those situations and making sure that we're doing a great job with all the protocol that's in place for training camp. But to answer your question, there's a good reason to do both. When you, do a split squad, you get a little thin across the board. When you come together, you have to do a great job of spacing everybody out when you're on the field based on all the protocols. So we have both in play, and we're going to use them throughout training camp.
Does that extend beyond just practice to, you know, the way you meet, like who might room together during training camp? I mean, how much logistically is different than previous years?
A lot. We've decided that we're not going to go into the hotel. We're going to leave them in their apartments. They're comfortable right now. We feel good about their situations in terms of everyone has their own room. We're trying to really de-densify, you know, all the situations in terms of how many guys are living with others because of what you're talking about in terms of exposure and contact tracing. I think we've done a great job of that. I'm still working on that, but I think that's important. I think when you look at this year, it's going to be very different. We've changed, you know, what we're doing in terms of meetings. We've done a great job of putting up some tents around the Woody so that we can get some air and do some meeting outside. Because we found that obviously when you're outside and we have more room to spread out, that really helps. So that, along with masking and really changing the style of where we're meeting on a daily basis, I think that's really helping just make sure everyone feels comfortable with their meeting spaces. We also have to do a great job, you know, with the locker room. You know, our locker room now is the indoor. And so a lot of those things and protocols had to have been adjusted, and that's what we put together over the last couple months, and we feel great about it as we go into camp.
Thanks.
Next up, Bill Rabinowitz with the Columbus Dispatch with Tony Gerdman on deck. Bill?
Yes, Ryan. I know you've kept parents in the loop throughout the navigation of this whole COVID situation. How much of a priority has that been to you, and what's the response been from parents in terms of their comfort level with what's going on?
Yeah, I think it's huge. I think when you go recruit young men to come into your program, you know, you're recruiting the whole family. And so I think, you know, if you asked our parents, I would hope that they would say that we've done an excellent job of communicating. And my phone's always on. I'm constantly taking calls from parents. And sometimes we don't have the answers. Sometimes we don't have great answers. But we take their feedback. And then, you know, when we get their feedback, for instance, you know, there were parents of different people who, you know, were in quarantine that gave us some great feedback on how we can make it better. We made those changes. And I think that's very, very important. Obviously, communication at this time when you can't bring everyone together is critical, but certainly for parents and, you know, and their sons to be on the same page during this time is very, very important. And I think right now we're in a good place, but we got to keep building on that and keep growing.
Are there any players missing from practice today? Can you give any kind of injury update, players that didn't participate? And how specifically are the running backs, Sermon and Master?
Yeah, the only thing I'll give you is just, you know, I think everybody looks real strong. You know, I'd rather not give you, you know, an update on who was there, who wasn't. But yeah, I would say that, you know, as we start building, you know, more and more practice together, I can probably give a little bit of an update. But right now, everybody looks great. Everybody looks strong.
Thanks, Ryan.
Mm-hmm. Next up, Tony Gerdman with Buckeye Scoop and Tim May on deck. Tony?
Ryan, regarding Justin, what was it about him that you think made him a selection as a captain?
Well, I think that Justin had a chance to be a captain last year. You know, we felt like we wanted to wait till make sure it was a third year. You know, he was just, you know, showing up, you know, last year. But he quickly made an impact on his teammates. First of all, his ability to operate the team at quarterback, it's just a natural leadership role. But he has his own way of leading. He has a lot of credibility with the entire offense for a lot of reasons. He cares about what he does. He's very intelligent. When he's on the field, he knows exactly what's going on. He's really tough. And I think just the way that he was down the stretch last year would just show his physical toughness on the field, mental toughness to come back in some of those games and play after taking some shots is what he really won the team over. And so he came back and had an unbelievable offseason, showed up in really good shape. And now, I mean, this is a great opportunity for him to now be, you know, the leader of Ohio State and have a great, memorable year.
Have you seen anything from him just the way the season ended? Have you seen that kind of fueling him through this offseason, do you think?
He's very determined. I mean, I don't want to speak for him. You know, he kind of got a chance to speak on Monday, but he's very, very motivated right now. And you can just see the look in his eye.
Thanks.
Next up, Tim May with Letterman Row and Doug Lamorese on deck. Tim? Tim, I know you're out on the golf course. Are you hearing us? All right, we'll come back with Tim. Next up, Doug Lamorese with Phil Landis on deck. Doug?
Hey, just real quick, Ryan, was Kyle Rowland at a pool? Did you notice?
I told him I was talking. Tell him I was muted there. Sorry.
Hey, real quick, Ryan. Go ahead, Tim.
No, I'm just looking at all these. Yeah, I do see Kyle in a pool right there. It's kind of a different spot here. This is fun to watch you guys in these different areas, your homes and everything else.
Timbo, you can go ahead.
Okay, yeah, sorry. I didn't know there was a mute button on this thing. I'm trying to do this for my car. Hey, Ryan, number one, what is the most, jeopardy-facing situation you think in practice? Is it when the linemen go head-to-head? That's what I've been told, is that that's maybe the thing you've got to watch most when those guys are face-to-face for 5 to 10 seconds, 15 seconds. But just where are you really being careful, do you think, as this thing develops?
Well, I think that the testing protocol is the number one thing in terms of being, you know, making sure that you have a clean practice. I mean, that's the number one thing. And then, you know, we want to try to limit the amount of contact we can have. And we have as we've headed into practice, you know, we wore the gaiters, we wore the gloves. We disinfect as fast as we can with the pads and those type of things. And yeah, we're going to try to limit the amount of contact we can have. Certainly taking guys to the ground But it is a contact sport. And so, you know, we try to limit it the best we can. But at the end of the day, there is going to be blocking. There is going to be tackling.
And the other thing, you know, obviously spring was important for all these guys. But for the backup quarterback role, you got Gunnar Hoke. And then you've got the two freshmen. And just, you know, especially those two freshmen, what kind of, like, accelerated program, I guess, do you have them on this preseason camp?
It's been hard because it's been so many meetings. If you think about all the meetings leading up to spring practice, and then we only had three practices, and then it was just months upon months of meeting and meeting and meeting and watching film. And so there's nothing you can do to replace experience of 7-on-7 and then of practice reps and certainly game reps. So that's just been the thing that we've been pushing really hard, the meetings and talking things through. But these guys have to get reps. And so now it's great to get out to practice and see those guys, you know, learn and keep building as they get those reps under their belt.
Hey, one other quickie. You guys are opening on a Thursday night. The way I read it, you know, the way to read the rules, you literally could have started your camp yesterday. Did you guys not know you were starting on Thursday basically until yesterday? And then number two, do you feel like you're losing a day? I mean, because I know all these days are precious to you at this point.
Yeah, we got the schedule when everyone else did yesterday. The way I understand is Illinois and us started yesterday. I mean, excuse me, started today. So I guess we could have, but we got the schedule yesterday. So both of us started today for practice.
Thank you, man. Mm-hmm.
Next up, Doug Lemaurice from Cleveland.com with Bill Landis on deck. Doug?
Ryan, a couple football questions. I know it's just day one, but how do you imagine the right tackle battle might shake out? 2 5-stars there, but specifically when you have a true freshman like Paris, is that an uphill battle for a true freshman to try to start on the offensive line? But just NPF and Paris trying to fight for that job.
Both very, very talented. And, you know, until you put pads on, it's very hard to tell with an offensive lineman. But I've been very, very impressed with both of them for different reasons. I think that Nick had a tremendous offseason. His body weight's as strong as it's ever been. I think he's had a great offseason. He's strong, really looks like a different person. And then I've been very impressed with Paris and, you know, the short time he's been here, his attention to detail, and just the work he's put in to get him to where he's at right now. So we'll get a better idea once the pads get on, but both look really, really good.
And then the receiver position, to have 4 true freshmen in the mix there, just sort of what you talked about with the backup quarterbacks, just that all the time that has been missed, how does that affect the wide receiver playing time battle when 4 of the guys involved have never done this before and missed opportunities in the last couple months?
I don't know if it changes the playing time, because we like to roll guys, as you know. You know, we had a couple years ago, we had, you know, 6 guys rolling constantly, and they were great receivers. So anybody who deserves to play is going to play. We like to play, you know, with tempo. We like to play fast, so those guys get gassed quickly, and so we like to roll guys. But missing the spring certainly hurt. There's a lot of reps under their belts that they did not get, and so it's similar to the quarterbacks. The good news is they're all very talented. The quarterbacks are talented. The wide receivers are talented, but they just don't have the experience and didn't get the spring. So that's where, you know, the next few weeks are critical to get those guys up to speed in terms of their experience.
Thanks, Ryan.
Next up, Bill Landis from The Athletic with Joey Kaufman on deck. Bill?
Hey, Ryan. You've mentioned that you're not quite comfortable yet with the idea of playing games. What's your comfort level with going full contact, even in your own camp? And what's the timeline to ramp up, I guess, going from what you're doing now to shells to full contact?
No, I mean, we feel great about training camp. You know, in terms of where we're at with our testing and the way that we're handling our protocols and procedures. So that part of it, we feel great about. You know, and it's just, there's a lot of things that need to be worked out. And they're working really, really hard, and they're doing a great job, you know, in the Big Ten office to try to come up with those answers, and it's ever changing. But certainly testing and contact tracing and all of those things are, you know, right at the forefront of the conversation. And you know, as time goes on here in the next couple of weeks, I know that we're going to come up to a conclusion on a plan, the way to attack that. And when we do, we'll cross that bridge when we get there. But right now, we feel great about our training camp.
Do you is the timeline for, I guess, the different phases of a normal training camp any different with what you're going through now in terms of when you decide to, you know, pad up and all that stuff.
Gotcha. No. Once we started training camp, and it was just all one phase. So I hear what you're saying, you know, in terms of helmets and shoulder pads and then full pads. We're ready to go in all those phases.
And then the back end of your defense specifically, and when Kerry got hired, he talked a lot about finding some change-ups to work into the defense, and I know that's hard when you go through an offseason when you're not practicing, you're not even together. What's your confidence level that you'll be able to find some stuff to add here in these next few weeks before you guys, you know, theoretically go play a game?
Yeah, I think that because there's been so much downtime, coaches come up with all kinds of great ideas. They've had a chance to watch a lot of film. And we're not short on ideas. I think it's the same way across the board. Now, the question is, what can we put on the field and execute effectively? So we got a lot of change-ups. We got a lot of ideas, a lot of different things, a lot of plays, a lot of defenses, a lot of blitzes. But at the end of the day, what are we actually going to be able to execute at a high level to go win games in the Big Ten? And that's the challenge over the next couple of weeks.
Next up, Joey Kaufman with the Columbus Dispatch and Brandon Gulick on deck. Joey?
Ryan, you talked about some of the things you guys were doing in practice as far as some of the safety protocols and some of the videos. Players are wearing masks. Are they wearing masks for all of practice? And is that something that's going to be like foreseeable or like possible in the long term where people would be wearing, you go through a padded practice and players are wearing masks? Is that something that's really feasible or how do you see that?
Yeah, once we put the helmets on, we're not requiring them to wear masks. You know, because we just think that for a lot of those guys, they're having a hard, especially the big guys, they have a hard time breathing through the gator with a helmet on. So we're not requiring that. But, you know, conversation, you know, still is had on a daily basis about what is best. But some of the feedback we've got from our guys is that, you know, especially when those masks and those gators get wet, becomes very difficult to breathe. And that's becomes another safety concern. So we're not requiring that during training camp.
And has there been any exploring like those face shields that some people have been modeled where it's not only a visor, but the whole thing's a shield? Is that something you guys have explored as well?
Yeah, we've been exploring it. You know, it was great to see the NCAA pass the rule just recently where we could go out there and walkthroughs and experiment with some of these different things. We have several different models that we're looking at and that the guys have an option to use at practice, and we're getting their feedback on those things. You know, there is a concern from some of the guys just about the ventilation of it, the fogging up. And so we're on a daily basis getting that information and trying to figure out what's best for everybody because, you know, the skill guys are different than the big guys and the linebackers are different than the tight ends. And so that's something that you know, the guys are giving us great feedback on, even today as we get off the field.
Next up, Brandon Gulick, Buckeyes Now on Sports Illustrated with Steve Hellwagon on deck. Brandon?
Hey, Coach, good to talk to you again. Was hoping that you might be able to speak to the quality of leadership on your team and why you think you guys are so well-suited to handle a situation that nobody's really gone through before.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to be over-dramatic, but the leadership that we've had on this team is just – we probably could have had 11 or 12 captains. I didn't want to make it over the top, but we have great leadership. And we have good leadership from you know, the freshman and sophomore class as well, but the upperclassmen, again, when you guys interview these guys on Monday, I mean, you guys have been around some of them, but just to hear them speak and just the way that they handle themselves like men is just really impressive. And because of that, like you said, they've been on their own a lot, and they're in great shape right now. They've done the hard work on their own, because when you don't have the motivation of the coaches on a daily basis here in the Woody, it goes back to your self-discipline, and they've shown self-discipline. And they've shown to push each other. And it's one thing to come from the coach, but when you have, you know, players get up in front of the team and talk to them about how they have to make sacrifices in their personal life to social distance, to stay at home, to wear masks, to do all the things to keep them safe and keep our Ohio State family safe, it's a lot more powerful than when the coach says it. And we have those guys that are good leaders. They do the right things, but they also want to speak up, ask hard questions, challenge each other. And because of that, this is becoming a special team in a very difficult season.
One more thing. It might seem like an oddly introspective question, but have you had any other life experiences that have put you through uncertainty that you feel like you're leaning on something you've gone through in the past to help you navigate what is certainly a tough time here?
Well, I mean, I think when everything happened a couple years ago, you know, when that kind of got thrown to the wolves a little bit, that was a day-to-day operation, a very different set of circumstances. But but that's what it was. And you know, we're kind of going by that mindset, is that we're just going to take it one day at a time. And I know I've said it a million times like that, but the minute I start to feel like I'm out of control or things are out of my control, I just go right back to the things we can control and just focus on right now. And that's served us well here. And we're going to continue that and keep talking it through. And but I would say that's probably, you know, the best case I can give you of something that I've been through that's similar.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Next up, Steve Hellwagon with 24/7 Sports and Nathan Baird on deck. Steve? Nathan, we'll jump ahead to you. Nathan Baird?
I'm here now.
Okay, go ahead, Steve. Sorry about that.
Yep. I guess I hope you're hanging in. Thanks again for doing the call today. Sure. The coaches poll voted you guys number two today behind Clemson, it looks like. Obviously, you know, so many other things going on in the world. But, again, that's high praise, I suppose, for the team that you guys have assembled, what you accomplished last year. Just your thoughts, I guess, about where people have you pegged going into the season.
Well, it's certainly an honor to be respected by, you know, your peers. Again, it sounds like coach speak, but it's true. That just what matters is at the end of the year. Nobody talks about what they were preseason. At the end of the season, what matters is your record at the end of the year. So, you know, it's an honor to be recognized by your peers, to have a great team, but at the same time, that doesn't really mean much.
Yep, and you touched on this earlier, maybe the health of your players. Without maybe giving an update on these guys, what would it mean to have Sermon and Teague at your availability, even from the first game on? How do you see that possibly working out as you get through the season?
Well, both very, very talented. I will say that the master has done an unbelievable job of rehabbing. He has been focused on it. He's been disciplined. He amazes me every day with what he's done to get to even where he's at right now. And very, very impressed with what he's done. And again, it wasn't easy because he was on his own a lot. But with Adam Stewart and Sean Barnhouse and our staff, and then his work ethic has been just tremendous. And Trey's been a great addition so far. He's got a great way about him. He's got you know, a great work ethic, and you know, our guys have kind of embraced him. And when you bring in a fifth year senior like that, or you know, somebody who's a transfer, you know, in one of those settings, you have to find the right guy. I mean, Jonah Jackson was that right guy, and we think Trey Sermon's the same way. But I think our running back room in general is a lot deeper. I think our, you know, Steel Chambers had an unbelievable offseason. I think you're going to see great things out of him. You know, Marcus Crowley's coming off of his injury. He's done a good job. And then Mayan Williams has stepped in short time and shown that he can learn quickly. And he's gotten himself in great shape, too. So in a room that, you know, we were kind of short on depth the last year or so, we've created some depth there. And that whole room has worked really, really hard, and it should be an asset for us this season.
Thanks.
Next up, Nathan Baird with Cleveland.com and Pat Murphy on deck. Nathan?
Hey, Ryan. You said after last season that you were looking for new leadership to step up in the secondary. I guess beyond Sean Wade, what have you seen in the last few months, or who have you seen in the last few months sort of step up and start to assert themselves there?
Yeah, I mean, we have some young guys back there, but I would say with the addition of Sean, I would say that Seven Banks and Marcus Williamson both have shown leadership. They've set an example, and they're holding guys to a certain level. So I think, you know, Kerry's done a great job with that group. As you guys know, he's got a lot of energy out there. He's pushing those guys really hard, but he's building that accountability within the unit. And those guys have stepped up, and once we get the pads on and get going, hopefully some more will.
I guess just how much is it helping to have Kerry there, having maybe had a background with these guys? And do you see that, because he recruited some of those guys, do you feel like that helped get through some of what otherwise might have been communication problems or other issues that you would have otherwise dealt with during the separation?
1,000%. Yeah, I mean, there's a trust there from some of the older guys, and so they kind of picked up from where they left off. And because of that, during this time, his credibility was instant, and that really helped that whole group through this time.
Thanks.
Next up, Pat Murphy with 24/7 Sports and Mark Schlabach on deck. Pat?
Yeah, Ryan, Doug asked you about the young receivers. I'm curious about a guy like Jalen Harris. We saw in the spring he was running with the first team, hasn't had a ton of first team reps. Where does he stand? What's his situation heading into fall camp?
Yeah, Jalen did a really good job. I felt like in the winter going into spring practice, then obviously that got cut short. So he got named to the leadership committee, had a lot of momentum. And so now as we get into the summer and we get into camp, we're hoping that he can get out there and make an impact for us. Kind of like you said, this is kind of the next step for him. He's an upperclassman now and some of the other guys look up to him. So we're hoping that he can really step up like some of the, former receivers who have been in that situation have.
And switching gears, we've heard a lot of people address this yesterday with the schedule coming out. Michigan game, not the last Saturday of the season. I'm just curious your thoughts on that game being moved up.
I don't have much of an opinion on it because we knew that the schedule was going to be different and we knew that 2020 is just different. And whatever it was, just because the schedule is what it is now, one of the things that, Kevin explained to us, Kevin Warren explained to us and Gene has explained to me, is just that those games, may get moved around based on what happens during the season too. So we don't know exactly how the season will look, how it'll play out, where we'll play some of these teams. So again, we'll just keep working hard over the next couple of weeks. And then as we start to approach September 3rd, we'll get ready for Illinois and then keep building one week after another. But nothing's normal this year. And so this won't be either. And that's okay. We're willing to adjust and whatever it takes to get it done.
Next up, Mark Schlabach with ESPN.com and Spencer Holbrook on deck. Mark? Mark, we'll come back to you. If you're still there, we'll move on.
Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead, Mark.
Sorry. Ryan, speaking of Michigan, there was a report from Bucknuts that there was a small dust-up between you and Jim Harbaugh on the Big Ten call earlier this week and that you had suggested to your team that the Big Ten might need a mercy rule because they were going to hang 100 on them. I was wondering if you could offer any insight into that.
No, I appreciate the question, but I'd rather not answer that right now.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Next up, Spencer Holbrook from Letterman Row with Jeremy Birmingham on deck. Spencer?
Ryan, you guys had a really talented offensive line last year, and bringing back the guys that you are, is this the best offensive line you think you've seen since you've been here at Ohio State?
Has the potential to be. Yeah, it does. They haven't done anything yet, so we'll see. But when you return Thayer Munford, Josh Myers, and Wyatt Davis, and then you supplement Harry Miller, and then whether it's Nick or Paris or DeWand, we have depth too. And so I'll tell you, I think this offensive line, along with our tight ends, could be one of the best I've been around. And that's high praise, but they have to do it. But it's just fun to see these guys. Stud and Kevin have done an unbelievable job of developing this young group, and they've now become men. And when you look back on last year and what they did, now they're only getting stronger. So their attention to detail, their focus, their seriousness has been very impressive this whole offseason. So it's fun to see them as they start to put the pads on.
And then now that Sean has been named a captain, he told us a couple days ago he's not really a vocal leader, but you might need a vocal leader within that room since you lost so much. What can Sean do and what can the other guys do to kind of supplement what you lost when it comes to leadership?
Well, I think that Sean certainly has credibility, but Sean shouldn't cut himself short either. When he speaks, people listen. And when you get put into that role, I don't know if you ask Jeff Okuda what kind of leader he was at this time last year, he probably would say the same thing. But when you get put into that role and you're the elder statesman in that room, you start to get that voice and guys listen. And so I think he'll find his way in that role, and I think he's going to do great.
And we're going to wrap up today's conference call with Coach Day with a couple questions from Jeremy Birmingham from Letterman Row. Jeremy?
Hey, Ryan. Obviously, you guys enjoy having a little time off from recruiting during the summer, but you're now in the middle of a five-month dead period. Not to steal anything from Tim May, but most of the hay is in the barn for 2021. But how are you guys handling this on the recruiting trail from a recruiting perspective? Because it seems like right now there's just an unending wave of uncertainty.
Yeah, we try to stay in touch the best we can. You know, this Zoom is a great medium for that, to keep building those relationships and talk things through. The good news is a lot of them have been on our campus, and so they know about us. We just haven't been able to spend much time with them over the last, like you said, 6 months. It's been a long time. But it goes back to relationships and trust and continue to build. And you know, I do feel for these recruits and their families that they haven't had the experience of coming to visit and see it. But it's, again, it's a unique time, and everyone's adjusting the best they can. And I'm proud of what we've done so far. We just got to keep going from there. And I'm proud of our recruits, and I'm proud of our players who have continued to build those relationships as well, and our coaches during this time and adjusting. Because it's easy to get frustrated, but you have to adjust during these times.
And switching gears real quick, we've talked in the past, you've talked in the past about the importance of fifth-year seniors, but how important is it to have stories like Justin Hilliard, not just leaders like Justin Hilliard, but stories about guys who've been through what he's been through, what Jonathan Cooper's been through, to tell the next wave of kids who have to deal with adversity?
I think it's huge. I think that is the winning recipe, to have guys like Coop, like you know, Justin Hilliard, like CJ. You know, he didn't get his extra year, which we were disappointed about, but now he's still going to be around the program. And the leadership and maturity of guys that have been through this, combined with some really talented young guys who we've recruited, I think that's the winning recipe right there. And you recruit great families and great people. And having guys like that, they almost become player coaches because they've been around long enough. They know what it looks like. They know what it's supposed to look like. And so when the coaches aren't looking, they're the ones that are strong, and they have a voice, and they've been here long enough to communicate to the young guys, this is how we do things. And I can't say enough about their maturity and what they've brought and their leadership. And I do think that's important to have on your team.
Great. Coach, thank you very much. Really appreciate your time.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Appreciate you. See you soon.
Thanks, John.